fascinating story and some incredible reporting by ProPublica and the Chicago Tribune. Jody Cohen from ProPublica and Jennifer Smith Richards from the Tribune talk about ways that schools are kind of working with police in a way, I guess, to ticket kids. And we're talking kids, sometimes not even teenagers, for relatively minor offenses that then have lasting impacts on their lives, potentially. Jody and Jennifer join us now. First, I'll say hi to Jody. Jody, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. And Jennifer from the Tribune, you're here too, right?
Sure am. Thank you.
Great. Anytime we have two guests on two different phone lines, I just like to make sure before we jump in. All right. The broad strokes of this story, and Jody, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there is a state law that prevents schools from what? Fining students for discipline. But there's some that seem to have found a way around it by getting the police involved. Can you explain it a bit more?
That was a good summary. Illinois lawmakers in 2015 passed a broad school discipline law trying to prevent real exclusionary type punishments over too many suspensions and expulsions. And they also put in that law that schools cannot issue fines as discipline. So if a student does something wrong at school, misbehaves, you can't give them a monetary fine. That is in state law. What's happening is that when students do things like are caught with a vape pen or do something that a school official considers disorderly, or if they're truant from school, which actually is part of a separate Illinois law, which we can talk about, what's happening is they're being referred to police, and the police are then giving them a ticket, like a citation for violating a local law, and that typically comes with a monetary fine.
How does it play out? Do they call the police and the police come to the school and hand it to the student? Is it at the end of the day, there's one officer there writing all the tickets, and as the kids are walking out, they get handed to them? Do they get it at home? How does that actually, that process work?
Actually, all those ways you just described. So many, many schools now have a school resource officer, a school police officer who they contract with, who usually the...
Oh, I think we lost you, Jody. You still there? With these storms coming through, sometimes that happens. Jennifer, can you pick up where Jody left off, perhaps?
Sure. So what she was describing is that it's very common for schools to have a police officer based on campus. And so that person is there all day. They can write a ticket at any moment, doing what law enforcement officers do, you know, enforcing the law. But there are definitely schools that will call their local police who will come down and write a ticket and can hand it to the student or to a school administrator. And absolutely sometimes police officers will deliver the ticket to the student's home.
Wow. Now, Jennifer, how many tickets are we talking? Is this dozens? Is this hundreds?
Right. So we looked all across the state. We looked in about 200 school districts over the last 3 school years. And, you know, for much of that time, kids weren't in school at all because of the pandemic. Even so, we were able to document right around 11,800 tickets that had been issued to kids, you know, again, in all types of school districts, mostly focusing on high schools. But I do want to note that some of those tickets did go to kids in junior highs. We would occasionally run across junior high schools or even elementary schools and see that tickets had been issued to kids who were quite young, elementary aged even.
And Jody, this is outside of the juvenile process, right? Like, because I know if you break a law or you break a rule as a juvenile, there's an expungement process that you can undergo after a certain time to get this off the record. Some of these offenses, they last forever on these kids' records, right?
Right. So these are not being charged criminally. So they are not in juvenile court. These tickets are being processed through local courts. They're not really courts. These local hearings that are in police stations, village halls. They're these quasi-judicial proceedings, really designed for adults. You know, to deal with parking tickets, red light cameras, noise violations, dogs barking too loud. You know, things like that. And juveniles are now in this system. Often, we would go to these hearings, and it would be the majority of people there would be children, students actually from school, and the juvenile court laws provide for expungement when you have a criminal charge in juvenile court, sometimes automatic expungement, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But ordinance violations are not part of that. So there's nothing in state law that provides for the expungement of an ordinance violation.
When you describe hearings, Jennifer, I kind of picture like in the old days when the courts were all tied up, they'd get, during Prohibition days, they'd get like 70 offenders in the room at once and get them all to plead guilty or whatever right away. Obviously, that's not what's happening, but is that similar to what, I mean, Jennifer, what do the hearings look like?
Yeah, they're really interesting. So we have been in so many of these municipal hearings across the state, but one thing that feels very similar between them is that they kind of do model themselves after a court hearing. So sometimes you'll see somebody acting as a bailiff, and you'll see sometimes people acting as court reporters. You know, there's a hearing officer who, you know, isn't a judge, but is a lawyer who the municipality has hired to decide these cases. And, you know, just like in a court, you have to enter a plea of, you know, liable or not liable, sometimes even guilty or not guilty. And if you want to fight the ticket, you have to plead, of course, not liable. And then you may have the opportunity to go to a hearing and present evidence on your behalf, or even to cross-examine witnesses. But all of this is happening, you know, again, as Jody described, like outside of a proper, you know, criminal justice system.
It's completely happening. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to pause you because I just want to reiterate that, because I misunderstood too. So when you say that there's someone, you know, appearing as a bailiff and there's someone appearing as this, so we are not describing an actual courtroom. This is a lawyer, you said, hired by a municipality to make these determinations. But if a student doesn't want to pay that fine, they can then go into a more traditional hearing the way we think of it as.
Not even a more traditional hearing. I mean, it is a, you know, a lowercase t trial at the local level.
Oh.
It's like you would have no right to representation, you know, to provided representation. If you don't speak English, you don't have a right to an interpreter. You're sort of acting as your own, in your own defense, and presenting your own evidence if you do decide to go to a hearing.
Interesting. Jody and Jennifer, we're going to put you on hold really quickly. We got to take a break, but I have a lot more questions again about this, and I imagine you might as well. 312-981-7200. We'll try and get some answers after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.